So my group was assigned chapters from 21 to 25, and as an individual, I'll be doing chapter 21. So before I start, I'll just give you a brief summary of what I've been for and what I've been looking for. So higher than average has... So Khalid bin Walid has now accepted Islam, and he's now on a mission to conquer Iraq. By now, he has won two major battles, and he's not just won it, but like he has won gracefully. So now, after the failure, so the two major battles were against the Persians, so now he's fighting against the Persians. So now the failure of these two major battles really raised anger inside the Persian capital. The capital was Ctesiphon, and so because the Persians were surprised because they have never seen such an advanced military from the Arabs. Somehow Islam has changed them into a powerful and united force that they were never before. So now the emperor of the Persia decided to raise two more armies to fight the Khalid bin Walid and the Muslim army. He chose Walaja as the place to fight Khalid and try to defeat his army. So two armies were raised. The commander of one of the armies, his name was Anwar Zafar. He was commanded to go to Walaja and wait for the commander of the second army. So now the plan was for these two armies to meet together and together with this large force to try to defeat Khalid bin Walid's army. So now Anwar Zafar reached Walaja. However, the second commander, whose name was Bahman, he did not reach it. He was slower than Anwar Zafar, right? So on the other hand, Muslims had defeated the two major battles before, and as a result of those two major battles, they have gained a lot of booty, and they have gained a lot of booty. Khalid bin Walid also had to control the territories that were being conquered because he was not only the political head of the army but also the military commander. So now, as he was conquering the territories, the local Arabs that used to live there became his intelligence agents. And so they used to inform him of the news of the Persian army, their movement towards the Walaja and all that. So now, in summary, Khalid bin Walid basically faced two problems. Two armies were about to meet together and try to face him. Second problem was that a lot of Persian survivors were escaping the armies to fight in another army. For example, the two armies that he fought before, there were some survivors that escaped from the army, and now they are joined the third army. So now the solution to the first problem, he found a very strategical solution, is that to move quickly and face the first army before the second army even arrives on the scene. And the solution to the second problem was that, we will discuss later, but he found a very intelligent solution to that as well. So now with an army of 15,000 men, Khalid bin Walid basically took off for Hira, moving quickly, and now he was going to face Anwar Zafar's army. Muslims arrived on Walaja some days before the second army was expected, and the commander of the Persian army was very confident because Muslims didn't seem as large in numbers. So now both the Muslim army and the Persian army get ready to fight. The commander of the Muslim army were again Asim bin Amr and Ali bin Hakim. So now Khalid's army was facing the Persians. Anwar Zafar, the commander of the Persian army, was surprised by the numbers of the Muslim army because they didn't seem enough. On the other hand, the Muslims were also surprised by their own numbers because they were a bit larger than the night before, and now they were looking a bit less. But they didn't worry, they just trusted Allah. So as a result, the Persian commander was confident to win. So now the battle starts, the Muslim army attacks first. This is what the Persian commander wanted because he wanted the Muslims to attack first, and then they get tired, and then the Persians will begin their attack. So now the phase one was when the Muslim armies were attacking. Also during this phase, the Muslims gained more confidence because Khalid bin Walid, because he was in the row, in the first row fighting bravely. There was a Persian man whose name was Hazar Mur, which means a thousand men because of his strength. He gave a challenge to the Muslims who were going to come forward and fight him. And Khalid accepted the challenge. And what happens is that Khalid killed that guy. The second phase was when the Anwar Zafar's army, signaled the Persian to launch their attack. Also, and so when they did attack, it was becoming harder for the Muslims to hold them back. They were waiting for the Khalid's army, they were waiting for any signal from the Khalid bin Walid, because but there was no signal. The Persians weren't gaining success, and it became very difficult for the Muslims to continue stopping them. At last, Khalid bin Walid gave him signal, and the Muslim army began to call out Allahu Akbar. They saw the Muslim warriors coming out from the back of the Persian army. So now the Muslims were already in front of the Persians, and now they were also coming from the back of the Persians. The Persians didn't know them. So now the happy faces of the Persians now began to fill with terror. The Muslims were now attacking them from the front and from the back, and they now tried to stretch the sides so that they can completely surround them from the sides as well. The Muslim army was fighting from the Muslim army that was in the front and was fighting from before actually gained more confidence by seeing their supporters coming from the back. The Persian army were now completely trapped. If they wanted to, if they went back, the Muslims were attacking them from the front, from the back. If they went to the front, the Muslims were attacking them from the front. As a result, the Persian army became obviously a disorderly mess from a disciplined one. They couldn't fight openly, and they could not defend themselves from fighting openly, and nor could they defend themselves. Those who wanted to escape couldn't escape, and in a dire need to escape this attack, they trampled each other and fought each other. So now, as the battle was over, the Muslims did not let a lot of Persians warriors escape this time. Some thousands managed to escape away because an army cannot be fully destroyed that even not one warrior escapes away, right? So Amr Zafar, the Persian commander, managed to get away, but he didn't went to become he escaped away, but he went into the desert where he died out of thirst. So now, after the battle, Khalid gathered the Muslim army and addressed them. He first prayed to Allah and sent his blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then spoke to the Muslims. What Khalid bin Walid did was, the night before, he sent part of his army to the ridge that was behind the Persian camp. And so the next morning, when the battle was being fought, Khalid gave the signal, and as a result, the Muslim warriors came from behind the warriors, attacking them from the rear. Therefore, Muslims fought the battle of Walaja in the third week of Safar, 12 Hijri, and defeated Amr Zafar's army. This was the end of the chapter 21. And so basically, in a summary, what we learned from this is that if Allah is with you and you put your effort into something, it doesn't matter what the situation is, what the condition is, you will win. It doesn't even matter what the number of the opposing force is, you will win. And so, that's it. Thank you so much.
I just remembered I had some notes on Khalid bin Walid.
So before we do this, maybe we can just do this. So, alhamdulillah, everyone did their presentation on their respective chapters. So I'll just do a brief overall over his entire life from the beginning to the end. Hopefully it shouldn't take more than 10 minutes. Inshallah. And certain things you can help me with as well, since you have covered these chapters. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. What was his nickname? The Sword of Allah. What was the name that he was known by? He was the father of Sulaiman, Abu Sulaiman. He was the son of Yes. Who did the beginning chapters?
It was Khalid.
His name was Khalid. So what was the name of his father?
Walid.
Yeah, Al-Walid ibn Mughayrah. Walid had four sons. Khalid radiallahu anhu was one of them, and there was another son where it plays a very important role because he later embraced Islam. His name was? Walid. Walid ibn Walid. Walid, the son of Walid. And this was something that was common, that if a person had many children, he would name one of his sons after him. So this was a common practice. What else do we know about Walid, the son, or the father of Khalid bin Walid? He was one of the leaders of which tribe? Makhzum. Bani Makhzum. He was a tribe of the Bani Makhzum clan. They were one of the richest clans in Mecca. One of the richest ones. In fact, he himself, Walid himself, he was so rich that every alternate year he would donate towards the cover of the Kaaba. And it was so expensive that the next year all of the Quraysh put together, they used to collect that money to donate for the Kaaba, for the cloth of the Kaaba, the black cloth. And he himself used to do it by himself that next year. That's how much wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he resembled a Sahabi. You know what Sahabi he resembled? It's the same Sahabi that he had a wrestling match with. Umar radiallahu anhu. He resembled Umar radiallahu anhu. His father, Al-Walid ibn Mughira, he always felt, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet, he always felt insecure. Because he was one of the leaders, he had a lot of wealth. But at the end of the day, he wasn't happy. Well, every time he saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't have much at that time. He wasn't very wealthy, he didn't have many people. But something always bothered him. Something always told him that he is the right person. He is the right man. He is the person that needs to be followed. Now, every time this would happen, he would come home and he would feel distressed. Khalid bin Walid, his son, he used to pick that up. He would ask him, "Father, why are you so distressed? You have everything. You're not missing anything." So he says, "Every time I say Muhammad, you know, it puts me down. I don't know why." Khalid radiallahu anhu, they used to make him very upset. He used to feel that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to compete with him. When obviously we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had no intention of competing with nobody, especially when it came to worldly matters. He had no intention whatsoever. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, he got married to Khadija radiallahu anha, and he would sometimes go on business trips. This would make him jealous. You know, even from a business perspective, from a perspective of being respected, he would always feel insecure. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wouldn't say anything to him and knew what type of feeling he had. At the same time, when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive revelation, this would make Walid ibn Mughira very upset. Not because he was against the revelation, he would feel that, "I'm so wealthy, how come the revelation did not come upon me?" Because inside, he knew that what revelation the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received, he knew that this is haq, this is true. The reason why he did not accept revelation is not because he did not know it wasn't true. He knew it was true. He did not accept it. Why? Because out of jealousy. That's the only reason why he did not accept it. Why did it come upon him, not upon me? His son, Walid ibn Walid, he was captured in which battle? The Battle of Badr. Is he the only one who studied the book?
The beginning.
Okay. So Walid ibn Walid was captured in the Battle of Badr. After when Walid ibn Walid was captured, he got an opportunity of seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up close. Remember, as far as many of them, they did not get a chance to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up close because people were scaring them away from him. people would send rumors that, no, you know, he's a fortune teller. He possesses black magic. If you get close to him, he's going to sever ties with your family members. He's going to cut off relations with your father and your son, daughter and husband, husband and wife. He's going to cut off relations. So don't go near him. He's going to do some type of black magic on you. So people are afraid to go in front of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walid ibn Walid, Khalid's brother, when he was captured, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up close. Just to give you a quick summary on the Battle of Badr for those people who were captured. How many people were captured in the Battle of Badr? 70. 70 people were captured in the Battle of Badr. When these 70 people were captured, they were brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know what to do with them. He consulted with Sahaba, and later on, many of them were used for different things. That night, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could not fall asleep. The day after the battle, the day before, he couldn't fall asleep. Now when they won the battle, he could not fall asleep either. Why? He wasn't worried about the believers, he was worried about those 70 that he has captured. Then, these 70 that I have captured, what's happening to them at this time? What is going through the mind of the family members of those who have been captured now? How, you know, they feel so grieved. They're feeling so uneasy and so uncomfortable. And it's because of the fact that we have captured them. Now, this was running through the mind of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Even though these are the same people who in that same day, if they had the opportunity, they would have struck him. And now because of these same people, he cannot fall asleep. He's turning this way, he's turning this way, he's turning. Those Sahaba who were guarding the tent of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turning from one side to his other, uneasy. So one of them, he took permission and he came inside. Prophet of Allah, you can't fall asleep. What's the matter? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I can't fall asleep because of those people that I have captured. He said to that Sahabi, that go and see how they're doing. Go and see if they're okay, if they're comfortable. And he asked, and he also instructed that Sahabi that make sure if they have any needs, if they are hungry, if they need any water, any food, anything, make sure you take care of it on my behalf. Subhanallah, these are the same people again who try to kill him. They were in battle with him and now he can't sleep because of this. Walid ibn Walid and many of the others, they saw this sign of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which they never saw because they were always afraid to go near him. This really changed the position of Walid ibn Walid about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his understanding, his perception. Later on, Walid ibn Walid and many others, they were freed. They were freed. They were let go on some ransom. Now, for his father, Walid ibn Mughira, to pay a ransom, I don't remember, does anyone remember what the ransom was?
4,000
camels, gold coins. So for him, that was pocket change. For his father, that was pocket change. As soon as Walid ibn Mughira, he freed his son, Walid came back to Mecca, and that's when he embraced Islam. People asked him that when you were in Medina and you were captured, why didn't you not accept Islam at that time? He said, Islam came in my heart and inside I was a believer, but I did not want to accept Islam at that time because people would have thought and people would think I accepted Islam because I was captured. I wanted to let people know that I accepted Islam on my free will, and I wanted to do that after I was freed. Now, Uhud took place. we know, mashallah, a lot of details, mashallah, in the Battle of Uhud. The outcome of that, the hero of Uhud on the side of the non-believers was Khalid ibn Walid. He was the hero, hero of Uhud. That was his title. This is what they used to call him by, the hero of Uhud, because he slain so many Sahaba and he was victorious. He came up with that whole plan. You want the details? You can go to Hamza. Now, after this battle that took place, what was the next battle that they had a confrontation with Muslims?
Trench.
Right? Now, did an actual war take place? No war took place. Because there was a trench that was dug on whose consultation, whose opinion was that?
Salman
radiallahu anhu. When this battle took place, Usayr ibn Hudayr, he was one of those Sahaba who went as an informative person, who went on the other side to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the whole scenario of how the non-believers are preparing. It's a lengthy story. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was also part of it, and he knew what Usayr ibn Hudayr was doing. The reason why I'm mentioning these points is because it's leading up to a very important point. The next battle that took place after the trench or incident was Hudaybiyah, where again there was no war, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went for it with the intention of Umrah. They weren't able to do it. They had to go back. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, at that time, he came with how many people to attack Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He came with 200 men with the intention of having war with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he got to Hudaybiyah, what did he see? He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing salah. All of the Sahaba were performing salah. All of them were performing salah. Khalid ibn Walid, he thought to himself that this is the best time to strike them because they're not going to move from their prayer. What happened then? As Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in sujood, he thought everyone is going to sajda, but that's not what happened. Half them went in sajda, half of them stood up. He said, what's going on here? What happened here? Did you mention about this? You did, right?
This would be bad. I mean, I can tell.
Okay. So, I'll just make it brief. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went in his sajda. Half of them went, half of them didn't. Half of them who stood up, they were guarding the other half who were in sujood. Now subhanAllah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up from the rak'ah and everyone joined again, when he went in sajda again, and the ones who stood up the first time, they went in the sajda. This is a special type of prayer called Salatul Khawf, which is mentioned in Qur'an al-Kareem. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةً. It's a lengthy ayah. We don't know about this. We may have heard about it. We probably don't know the entire method. But there is a salah called Salatul Khawf, which is done. Salatul Khawf means at the time of fear, referring to war. Not if your wife is mad at you, do Salatul Khawf. So, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he wasn't able to attack Muslims. Now, at that time, Iman came in his heart. The light of Iman came in his heart. That subhanAllah, this man, I tried to attack him in Uhud, I wasn't successful. I tried to attack him in Hudaybiyah, I wasn't successful. I tried to attack him in the Battle of the Trench, I wasn't successful. Iman, the light of Iman entered into his heart. He did not accept Islam, but that spark created. Later on, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he saw a dream. Anyone know about that dream? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he saw a dream in where he saw two different types of lands. He saw one land which was very fertile. Lots of water, fruits, very nice greenery. And on the other hand, there was a piece of land which was dry. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he saw that people are going towards that fertile land. And there's someone that's telling him that go towards that fertile land. Why are you sitting here on the dry land? He woke up the next day, the next morning, and he realized that that fertile land is referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This increased his iman. The spark was there, now the fire is slowly, slowly increasing. So the next day he goes and he mentions that to some of his friends. Which friends? He mentioned about that.
Ikram.
He's not here. Okay, so Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he went to three of his friends. One was the son of Abu Jahl, Ikram. The other was Safwan. And the third, who did accompany him, was Uthman ibn Talha. The first two, Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl, and Safwan, when he told them that, you know, why don't we go and just talk to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let's just sit with him. We haven't seen him up close. We don't know anything about him. So they said, you, someone like you, wants to go and sit in Muhammad's gathering? What's wrong with you? You can go, but we're never going. Uthman ibn Talha, who later on embraced Islam, he said, let's go. We're not losing anything. You're with us. If he tries to attack us, you're enough. I mean, they had a lot of confidence that Khalid bin Walid was enough for them. So they both started to make their way. On their way, they met another person, Amr ibn al-As, who did not accept Islam at that time. He was one of the leaders as well. Later on, he became the governor of Egypt. So they said to him, he saw Khalid ibn Walid, and he saw Uthman ibn Talha. When he saw Khalid, he got scared. Khalid, where are you going, both of you? You're heading towards Medina? Why are you going towards Medina? Are you attacking? Because it was known about him that if he's going anywhere, he's not going anywhere just for fun. He's going there for some business. So what's your business in Medina? Who are you attacking? So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he said, I'm not going to attack anyone. I just want to sit in the gathering of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he said, you? He was shocked as well. He said, yes, me. So where are you going? He said, I'm also heading towards Medina for the same reason. But I didn't want to tell anyone. And I was scared to tell you, because you would have probably sliced me on the spot. But since you're going for the same reason, let's go accompany. Let's go together. Now, before they reached Madinatul Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already informed about Khalid bin Walid and those two other Sahaba coming to Madinatul Munawwara. And Walid ibn Walid, he wrote a letter to his brother of embracing Islam before the dream. So all of these things were piling up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called Walid ibn Walid before Khalid even got to Medina, and he said, glad tidings, your brother is on his way. Your brother is on his way. Walid ibn Walid, he was waiting for his brother to come, so he even went outside of Medina just to receive them, all three of them. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he saw Walid ibn Walid, so why are you waiting for us, and how did you know? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already informed me that you're coming. Now, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he sits in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they also sit. And subhanAllah, the first words that Khalid bin Walid, he says, before saying anything, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. That was a sign that I'm accepting Islam. Or else he would never say, ya Rasulullah, Prophet of Allah. That was his first words. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously other Sahaba were also informed. I mean, Khalid ibn Walid was you know, he was a huge figure. So everyone in Medina got together. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, he said, the Quraysh of Makkah, they have threw out their liver and their organs. Referring to that, these people who are embracing Islam, their children now are accepting Islam. They did not accept Islam, but their livers and their organs are now being coming to us. These were the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he said, O Prophet of Allah, before I accept Islam, I just want to have this assurance from you that Allah will forgive me. You know and I know that I have killed a lot of people. I have harmed a lot to you and I have harmed a lot towards Islam. O Prophet of Allah, give me the assurance that Allah is going to forgive me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, that Islam yajubbu ma kana qablahu, that by embracing Islam, all of your previous sins, they have been deleted by you accepting Islam. Subhanallah, the word that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is not your deeds are deleted, your sins are deleted. Subhanallah. Meaning that whatever good you have done prior to Islam, that's not deleted. That is still there. Only your sins are deleted. Your good deeds that you have done before accepting Islam, Allah will still count that. Subhanallah. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he said, O Prophet of Allah, you're saying it, but please, I just want to get that assurance again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it again. Then Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he said, O Prophet of Allah, please pray for me, that Allah forgives me. Right there and then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua, that Allahumma ighfir Khalid. O Allah, please forgive Khalid. Khalid ibn Walid, he said, O Prophet of Allah, please again make dua. And again he made dua. Three times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua, that O Allah, please forgive Khalid. And Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. This was obviously the turning point in Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu's life. Just quickly, as most of you have went through the details of the battles, a lot of details, the next battle that took place after he embraced Islam was the Battle of Mu'tah. Many people were given the flag, Zayd ibn Harith, and then it went on from one person to another person to a third person, and all of them got shaheed, they all got martyred. And finally, Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu anhu, he could not find a suitable person, and he gave it to Khalid ibn Walid when he just embraced Islam. So Khalid ibn Walid was reluctant to take the flag. He said, how could I take the flag? I just embraced Islam. So Thabit ibn Qais insisted, no, you take it. And all the other believers, they insisted Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu to take the flag of Islam. When he took the flag of Islam, it was in his hand until Umar radiallahu anhu, he dissolved him from his responsibilities. He always carried the flag during the time of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, even during most of the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. We will get to that point of why did Umar radiallahu anhu dissolve him. We mentioned a little bit about that last week, but I will conclude with that. After that, a few months later, maybe a year later, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah. How many people, when he conquered Makkah, how many people were there? How many sahaba?
10,000
sahaba. He is marching towards Makkah, subhanallah, with an army of 10,000. No one has seen such an army like this before with Muslims. Subhanallah.
Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, on Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right side. Then on this left side you have Zubair radiallahu anhu, you have Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu in the front. You have Zubair radiallahu anhu on the right. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the center, and Khalid ibn Walid, who just is embraced Islam, he's on the left hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, like I said, once he got that flag, he always had that flag. Until finally, Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent a letter and he dissolved and he removed the responsibility from Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu of the governor or the person in charge. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was given the title, the Sword of Allah. Correct? Once that responsibility was taken away, and subhanAllah, remember, it's not because Umar radiallahu anhu had anything against Khalid. And the munafiqeen at that time, they found that opportunity of spreading rumors. That look, Umar has something against Khalid, that's why he's doing this. And there was a little bit of a fitna that grew at that time because of this. There was some tension between the believers. They thought that this is why Umar radiallahu, the reason why Umar radiallahu anhu did that, because he felt that Khalid is more worthy of praise than Umar. And he's the Khalifa, and he's not a Khalifa, but he's taking over. Unfortunately, this was in their minds. That was not the intention of Umar, and Khalid ibn Walid never ever spoke against Umar radiallahu anhu for taking that position away from him. Subhanallah, when that letter was given to him, the person, he says that the day I gave that letter to Khalid ibn Walid and I knew what was written on that letter and I gave it to him, I wanted to see that once he reads the letter, how is his reaction going to be? Is he going to get upset? Is he going to say something? And he said, subhanAllah, when he received the letter, and after reading the entire letter, his face did not change, nor did he say anything. And right away, he gave that position away to someone else that was appointed by Umar radiallahu anhu. That sahabi, he says, that day I realized that Khalid ibn Walid, he is stronger more from the inside than he's on the out. It's not easy to give that position away. You know, when you have that much, you know, power, and you know that you can do certain things, and Allah has given it to you. And it wasn't that he felt that he's just doing this on his own. You read the battles, as you have read. Every time he won a battle, he praised Allah. You know, he would always put his trust in Allah. His connection with Allah was very strong. This wasn't what Umar radiallahu anhu was worried about. What he was worried about was not of Khalid. He was worried about the other people. That he felt that people were not putting their trust in Allah, rather they were putting their trust in Khalid radiallahu anhu. So because of that, that's why he was removed. And subhanAllah, even after Khalid radiallahu anhu was removed from that post, there was no difference in advancing when it came to battles. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslims kept on moving forward and they never lost a battle during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. 4 years later, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he passed away. When he was on his deathbed, he says that not a single place on my body where there is not a scar or a mark from the battles. There's not a single place where there's no mark. Every single place in my body has a scar or has a mark, to say the least. And he says that yet my whole life went in the battlefield. My entire life, my desire was to die as a martyr, but today I'm dying as a camel, dying on a bed. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he says, but I have no regrets. I have no regrets. He used to say that shaghalani al-jihad min kathiri ta'allum al-Qur'an. That because of jihad and being involved in expeditions and wars, it deprived me from learning much of Qur'an al-Kareem. When Umar radiallahu anhu dissolved him from his responsibilities, Khalid radiallahu anhu, he used to sit from Fajr until Dhuhr in the masjid just reciting Quran. Every single day. This was the longest period of the day, from Fajr to Dhuhr. And he would sit in the masjid just reciting Quran. And he says, now I realize why Umar radiallahu anhu, he took me away from this post, because Allah gave me the title, the Sword of Allah. If I were to die in the battlefield and someone would have killed me, they would have said, the Sword of Allah has been killed. The Sword of Allah has been killed. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu's insight, where he was thinking that if Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was killed by any one person, those people would rejoice. And that person would say, I have killed, na'udhu billah, the Sword of Allah. The Sword of Allah can never be broken, can never be killed. And this was the worry of Umar radiallahu anhu, and that's why he took him off that post. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he spent, like I said, his last few years just attached to Quran al-Kareem. And like I said, he said that he had no regret. This point, I just want to finish with this, and this is a very, very important point, is that if we look at his life, his whole life was about war, right? Was basically, he was in one field his whole life. But this is the thing that we need to understand, that if you are in one field, Islam has many fields. To get to Allah and to get to Jannah, there are many different ways. There are many different ways to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Just the way how, if you want to get to downtown, there's a few different ways. There's not only one highway. To get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many ways, there are many paths. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was in this path. There is another group of people who are in the path of learning Quran, learning Hadith. This is another path. There are some people who are in the path of da'wah, inviting others. Now, invitation could be towards Muslims, that's one path. There's another group who are inviting towards non-Muslims, this is another path. There are some people who are in the path and where they are serving humanity, taking care of poor people. They're going out, subhanAllah, you know, one of my friends, he went to a place called Zanzibar. You know where that is? Zanzibar, somewhere in Africa. He went there with his friend, wealthy friend, and his friend's mother. And subhanAllah, they went there just for the sake of taking care of thousands of people who are homeless, no food. He says, every day we used to come with a truckload of food. Truckload of food. We used to come to a jungle, not a single person. But subhanAllah, within minutes, that jungle would be full of thousands of people lining up. He said, we used to give them free food. We used to give them clothing. He's not a scholar. He's not an imam. He's not a person who is knowledgeable in Quran, but he's also working for deen. There are so many different ways that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's not only one way. And this is the thing that we need to understand, that if we are doing something in one field, alhamdulillah, that's great. But it doesn't necessarily mean now the other field is now wrong. Keep that option open for the other person. You know, the reason why I'm mentioning this, because there are some people who are in one field and say, this is the only way. This is the only work. This is not the only work of deen. There are so many different, right? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he did not raise a finger on Khalid ibn Walid, that how come you didn't sit with us in Sufa and learn with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why were you in the battlefield all the time? Khalid ibn Walid, he did not raise his fingers upon the Ashabi Sufa, those who spend their life dedicated just to learn the deen of Allah. He did not raise their fingers. Why didn't you come in the battle? Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not move people around? Because he knew that this is also one group, this is another group, and all of them are, intention is the same. The goal is the same. Sometimes you would come in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will see little halaqas, little groups. There are some people sitting over here, some sitting here, some sitting here, some sitting here. What are they doing? Some people, they're discussing, they're talking about Akhirah. They're sitting and discussing about Akhirah. There's another group of people, they're learning Quran by one person. There's another group of people, they're memorizing Hadith. There are other people who are doing some dhikr. Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come and he wouldn't say anything. That why are you doing this and why are you not doing this? He would get happy. MashaAllah, there's people who are doing this and people who are doing this. And sometimes he would sit in this group. Sometimes he would sit in that group. Sometimes he would sit in this group. So, when Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he says, I have no regrets that my whole life went in there because he knew that this is a way to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever we do, do it for the sake of deen. We don't have to do it in one particular way. There are so many different things, and I mention this to you guys all the time, that there are so many different ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use us for the service of His religion, of His deen. We need to make dua, oh Allah, give me that opportunity so that you can use me. Whatever that may be. You know the brother who puts up this tea every week? That's his service of deen. He may enjoy the tea himself. But subhanAllah, that's his service of his deen. The other people, mashallah, Sa'ad bin, he's doing the tafsir. Every week he puts this up. This is his service of deen. You need to ask yourself that, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can do? Like I said, not everyone, Allah is not requiring everyone to be an imam of a masjid and lead the prayer or teach Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of us differently and we all need each other. We all need each other. If everyone was imams, who's going to fix cars? Who's going to do all the IT work? Who's going to do, I mean, subhanAllah, there's so many things involved. People who are sick, who's going to cure them? People have a legal matter. If all the imams are sitting in the masjid, everyone's an imam, who's going to take care of the legal matters? If there's a fire, who's going to take out the fire? You can't just go with buckets. So, all of us need each other. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this nizam. He has created this, you know, this system. And we need each other. But whatever field that you're in, you make dua that Allah uses you for His deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really give us the ability of taking these qualities of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in and inculcate them within ourselves.